Hello and welcome to the debrief. I'm here on the road to Bendigo. Brad Oakes is on. He's just got out of the car to go and have a wee and he's getting back in. Here he comes. God. Here, put that on. And that was a long wee.
That was the world's longest piece. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you know, the only other person who's done a longer wee with me, Lawrence Mooney.
Oh, okay.
When I picked him up from a Dum Dum podcast and we had to drive to Brown Hall in Ballarat.
Oh, that's the famous gig. The famous gig.
Where, anyway, he'd had a lot of drinks. Yeah. His wee was longer than that, let me tell you. Anyway, I'm recording, actually.
Right.
You're on the debrief. And we're driving to Bendigo. It's Brad Oakes.
Here
most,
we are.
The most consistent participant on this podcast, apart from myself.
Yeah, the old firm, back together.
We're back together. I've been overseas, I'm back. And you know when you think your life has changed, but it hasn't at all. And we're driving to Bendigo. Eagle Hawk footy and their ball club.
I've trimmed my moustache, so...
You've lost weight. I've lost a bit of weight.
Things have changed, yes.
Probably like a Weight Watchers session in here.
Well, yeah, just a positive affirmations.
Now we're doing a Eagle Hawk...
Football Netball Club?
Yeah, which is... I don't know. I actually did a gig on Monday night for state school principals.
Yeah, I've done one of those.
And I met... the principal of Eagle Hawk College or High School, whatever it's called. And I'm like, oh, I'm coming up there. And he's like, oh, be careful. Oh. I'm like, why? And I said, I thought Long Gully, aka Bong Gully, was the rough. And he goes, that's part of Eagle Hawk.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh. But he said, nah, they're all fine. This is a great club. It's a great club.
It's one of the, I know I do this in stand-up, but it's one of the beautiful things about Australia is that some of the names of places, they offer so much.
And then deliver so little.
Yeah, like...
Sunshine.
And Noble Park. Not if you live there, that's great. You know, if you bought there, great. If you didn't, you don't have to live there. But
Dufton sounds nice.
Eagle Hawk sounds, you know, you go, oh, it sounds...
Royal.
Well, it sounds almost...
Regal.
Yeah, and it sounds kind of intensely aware, you know, Eagle Hawk, I'm ready, you know. And
Can you think of a suburb that matches its name? Like, you know, I've got one, Ivanhoe, which for people that don't know is quite a posh suburb in Melbourne.
And I think
Double Bay, Vaucluse.
Yeah, Brighton.
Brighton's like Vaucluse, isn't it?
But you got to wonder with Brighton whether or not it is the name or it just became the name because of who it is.
What about in Adelaide? Let's cover all the states.
The Grange.
Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth.
It sounds so lovely. I said, when I'm in Adelaide, I always go, I went to Elizabeth, I didn't meet the Queen.
I wonder, you know, given Australians...
Elizabeth's rough, by the way.
Why isn't it diminutive? Why do people there call it Liz?
And that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Okay, Brisbane, Inala. Inala is the bogan suburb people hang shit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perth, Gosnells.
Oh yeah, and Mandurah.
Yeah, and Tasmania.
Hobart. Hey, what's the rough bit in Hobart? It actually sounds really nice.
Oh.
It's like Apple.
Point, isn't it? No, Apple Cross.
I don't know. But I've heard comics make jokes about it in Hobart and everyone's laughs. And you're like, that sounds really nice where they're talking about.
But it's you know, it's, I've always found it funny, and that's why I do that joke about how people who live there, they take it on so that, you know, like people will get quite defensive. And it's the same bit of dirt.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you live in Clifton Hill, and at least there's a hill.
There is a hill, that's right. And that's where the landowners settled, and the people that owned the factories and stuff. And they all walked down to Abbotsford.
What's his name, Clifton?
Clifton.
Yeah.
They walked down to Abbotsford and Collingwood, which are two weird names when you think about them. I suppose Collingwood's British.
Well, yeah, named after, a wood.
Named after,
of course.
The player, the football team.
yes.
Mate, Bayswater, mate. There's no bay and there's no water.
Yeah. No. Deer Park. No deer. No
deer.
Park.
Parks. Yeah. No deer. No yeah. parks.
South Meringue. There's no meringue.
No meringue. The great Vic Plume used to do a routine about that.
Sorry, but and I used to do a routine because I'm from a better part of town. South Yarra. There's no Yarra.
Oh yeah. No.
People go, there's anyway, a river. I go, yeah, but you know.
It's so funny.
It's the well, river isn't a suburb.
We're on the road, and coincidentally, Des Dowling, he's been on this podcast, very funny man, he's in Bendigo as well, doing another gig. So we might hook up with him later. He's supporting a major sporting superstar who we don't want to name. Well, he doesn't want to name him.
No.
We can.
Yeah.
He's a cricket commentator. Anyway, enough of that.
All I can say is,
yeah. So it's not Richie Beno. It's not well, no, Bradman's dead.
This guy's alive. Yeah.
So,
do you know any alive ones, Dave?
Gilchrist. I know he's retired. I've done gigs with him. I don't get Gilchrist, a lovely bloke, and Smith.
Who's the captain? Smith.
No, I don't know. Wouldn't know. Ricky Ponting. Oh no.
He's yeah, right.
He used to be the captain, Ricky Ponting.
Do you know why I'm not going to say the name? I was with Tommy Little this afternoon. I'm not going to say his name.
You tell everyone where you've just come from. You've come from a group of people watching the Collingwood Football Club, and they're all Collingwood tragics. They're all big supporters.
They may not want people to know that.
Oh, okay, all right.
Well, Dane Swan, obviously.
Well, Dane Swan was there, but there's all like these people.
Peter Hellier, very.
Yeah, yeah, very. Yeah. Little.
Sandra Chalura, very. Yeah, yeah. And very
Matt Preston, it was like.
And
man, it's like the Illuminati.
But this beautiful girl came up.
Mark Skate, the car racing driver, was there.
This beautiful girl came up to Tommy Little.
Well, how unusual.
At the pub.
I don't believe you.
I said to him, I wanted to lean across and say to her, listen, and when she said, who are you? For me to go, I'm Tommy's mate from the future.
Yeah.
From 25 years from now, I've come back to tell him not to talk to you.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, and then, yeah, it was.
Anyway, all these guys that love Collingwood get together and watch the game occasionally. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You like the Collingwood celebrity supporters.
Yeah, well, you know,
big hitters are in there. Santo, Matt Preston,
Brad Oakes,
Tommy Little, Brad Oakes, Mark Scaife,
Zach Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was a big Lakers fan.
Oh, okay.
For the basketball, and he had a seat on the on the ground level on the court.
Yeah, he did always, didn't he? Yeah.
Which is, you know, in my opinion, although I don't like basketball anyway, but it's definitely not the best place to watch it. But it's obviously important to be sitting there.
Yeah. You know? Imagine if they did the same thing for Richmond, for example. It's a big Mick Molloy by himself, just sitting there going, "Oh, I wish more comics." What? Richmond.
I'm trying to think.
Geelong, it'd be Daryl Summers and Dave Thornton.
Marty Fieldsbury's for Richmond.
Oh, yeah, okay. Fields and George Kapanyaris does too.
Does he?
All right. Hawthorne would be Peter Rosen and Elliot Goblet.
Yeah, and Raymond J. Bartholomew.
Brian? He'd be St Kilda, wouldn't he? Brian.
No, he's Collingwood.
Oh, he's Collingwood.
Yep.
And imagine I'm going through Melbourne. Who'd be in Melbourne?
Hamish
Blake.
And
by himself. And a lot of rich dudes.
They're richer than him. No, hang on. There's someone else too. St Kilda, Eric Banner.
Oh, yeah. No, St Kilda's got a lot of Shane Warne, a lot of celebrity supporters. Bulldogs, no, Bulldogs, mate. Gilbo.
Danny McGinley.
Russell Gilbo, Danny McGinley. And me. I'm not a huge football fan, but.
You wouldn't even know when the footy season was on.
Mate, I do now because my daughter plays football and she's a massive Geelong fan.
What position does Kitty play?
Oh, they change it around. It's like...
But what's she evolving to?
Oh, okay, she's not playing at the moment. She's being managed by me and her mother. She was more... What did she do? She's tall. Okay, she was in the ruck a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, kids football is half competitive, half charity, so they've got to give everyone a go.
Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah.
She enjoyed it. I mean...
No, I thought you said she was all right at it.
No, she was all right, yeah. But, no, there's some girls where you go, wow, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Here's your guys. You can tell from Auskick, your kid's no good, and this is natural. The kid's in the shits. Anyway, Rafi's into basketball now. Don't give a shit about footy anymore.
It's like he's in the car.
It's like he's in the car.
It's like he's here.
Anyway, I'm a bit worried about this gig, Bradford, because I spoke to the woman.
Yeah.
There's a few factors here which you should let the listeners know about, because we're going to go away in a minute. We'll return though after the gig. No stage for a start. No stage. Never had comedy before, but they have had a hypnotist, and they haven't pre-sold any tickets. Now they didn't put them on sale. Basically, now normally with sporting clubs, they do pre-sell the tickets to know what the numbers are going to be like, but they decided not to sell any tickets. So I don't know.
So a couple of things come up straight away for me. One is, I'm about, I'd say, 4 or 5 inches shorter than you?
Yeah.
Right? Which is, what's that? That's about
5 centimetres. 5 foot 8? You'd be 5 foot 8.
Oh, no, not even if I burped.
Okay,
right. I mean, 5, 6 and a half, I think. Anyway, so it's even worse for me. There's no stage.
Yeah.
My eyes are sunk so low in my head, unlike yours. Yours are on antlers.
Oh.
But
I am tall. I'm 6 foot, but I don't stand up straight. But you're right. I know you've got your theory about 6 footers just find it easier.
I do think so. I think that
More tall people become presidents or prime ministers than short people.
Well, yeah, because, you know,
it's like a leadership thing.
It's in our DNA that we follow people who are, you know, like.
And that's why television's good for short people. Because people can't tell how tall they are.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger's quite short, apparently.
Well, I did a scene on the Comedy Company with Mark.
Mitchell.
Yeah. Where
he appears quite big.
I played Alan Bond, and he played Kerry Packer. This is the Comedy Company back at circa 92, 93. And he insisted on standing on a box.
Ah, okay.
Right. And I was laughing because I thought, I didn't know who he was talking about. When he said to Ian McFadden, he's quite tall. And I'm thinking, I'm looking over my shoulder. Actually, I'm so short, I can't.
Well, Mark Mitchell's tall, isn't he? He's a big person.
Conor Fruiter is tall.
Right?
Mark's tallish. He's most probably you, right? But Conor Fruiter was 7 foot tall, you know? And that's what he wanted to maintain all the time was his...
That's interesting.
I don't know. And I just... I was flabbergasted. I just thought, I've found my home because... I've never been tall.
Yeah.
And, you know, except when I played on footy under my cousin's birth certificate. Only under 5.
And how long did that sketch take to film? I'll answer that. A couple of days.
That's...
All right, well, we'll be back, guys.
I did have another concern about the gig.
Yeah, the gig, yeah.
Yeah, which is, they haven't had comedy before, but they had a hypnotist. What if the hypnotist left post-hypnotic suggestion saying...
Heck all the comments.
Yeah, if there are any comedians, they'll be shit. You never know. The war continues.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, keep listening because we'll be back. You guys don't have to go through the pain that we're about to go through and the natural high of being top-line stand-ups that go to Bendigo on a Saturday night.
Yeah, as opposed to all the ones that I left that didn't have to work tonight.
Yeah, all those big stars that were hanging out just watching Collingwood and then partying on. Man, you could have been with Matt Preston right now.
Damn you!
Talking about sauces and gravies. All right, we'll be back on the debrief. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill
and Glenn Robbins,
and we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google
something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. Ah, you're back on the debrief. We've done the Eagle Hawk Footy Club, and what a triumph, Brad.
It was a wonderful, wonderful gig. We're very nice people. Not a football player amongst them, Dave.
Yeah, and so there was about, I counted them, 30 people in total.
Yeah.
So it was a financial disaster for them, probably, because we're both $8,000 each.
Yeah, did you?
We gave them a discount. Yeah. No, we're not.
By the way, anybody listening, that's negotiable.
Yeah.
But I work for chocolates.
To give them credit, they were a great crowd.
Lovely crowd.
They were a great crowd. And you were the star of the night, I felt, Brad. You went on first and did 45 minutes, probably.
Do you reckon it was that long?
Yeah, 40.
Yeah, I did a bit of wandering.
Wandered around, you talked to the barman, who are these two mountain men. Huge blokes.
It was, yeah. Anyway, yes.
And you absolutely smashed it.
Wow.
And then I went on, and like I was saying, because we were all hanging out with the crowd, I thought I'd already been on, and I thought I'd already been funny, and then I started doing my comedy, I'm like, oh no, I haven't been on. You got to establish yourself as funny as a comedian.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're well known or whatever, you got to get up there and be funny. But then, it was fine, it was good.
I think I created that vibe, though. Like, it's a very unprofessional vibe, isn't it? Like, and I don't mean that like I'm unprofessional, like I'm, you know, I'm bad and I'm wrong. It's just like, I turned it into a chat, you know?
Yes. Yeah, and then you put the mic down. Yeah. Didn't use the mic for a bit. You got that barman out. I actually took a photo of it too, which I should send out when this podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Of you standing next to the barman, who was... Uh-huh. And he was a bank manager.
Bank manager, and he was what?
He looked like a lumberjack.
I reckon he was 6'8".
Oh, he was a big boy.
Yeah, and, you know, in metric, that's about 5 kilometres.
As I said, Brad, I said, imagine bank robbers coming into your bank, ho-ho, and just turning around and running out. No, thank you.
Yes.
One of the great nights of comedy.
But, yeah, they were delightful people, and I must admit, and my personal trainer's listening, I'm sorry, I had a party pie, and as usual, what happened? I bit into it, and not only did it burn my tongue, but another bit of the party pie opened, and this boiling hot, like, meaty morsel. Lava came out and landed on the tip of my nose and burnt my nose.
Oh.
I know.
And nice party pies.
Yeah. Well, I had another one.
And then country folk, they brought out slices.
Yeah.
The chocolate slice, caramel slice.
Oh, they had so much food. It was sad, wasn't it? Really?
And pizza. Well, yeah. They expected a bigger turnout, but it was... whose 21st was it? Wrigley's 21st.
Yeah, I don't know.
So this happens with country footy gigs. If someone's having their 21st, it'll take a lot of the young guys away from the and girls from the gig. So that's what happened. Well, that's what we're blaming.
It could be just as simple as there's some good MDMA going around. Yeah. You know? Really. But what it is that, and I don't want this to sound like I'm being critical about how they did it. They were lovely people and so on. But as you mentioned earlier, they didn't pre-sell tickets.
No, that's a big...
And...
No.
You know, you kind of need to get that commitment, you know. It's like...
Well, as the guy, the treasurer was saying to me, Jeremy, that he saw all... They had a game today. They thrashed Kyneton, right? Kyneton. And everyone's in a good mood, and he's walking around going, all these blokes, you coming tonight? Oh, yeah, I'm coming back. I'm going to get a change. He said, none of them came back.
Yeah.
Not one.
No.
Because I know, because, you know, we run gigs. I run a gig at my school. You've got to get them to pre-book.
Yeah, unless, now we're heading back down the highway now.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an enormous bus accident.
Yeah, that's what's happened.
We'll know. Oh, how was that too? Like, I did this joke.
Oh, my God.
Should I say the joke?
Yeah, you do a joke about the bouncy castle.
About bouncy castles and how it's my PSA, my public service announcement, how dangerous bouncy castles are. The bouncy castle in high wind is really dangerous. Like 2 weeks ago, we had one in the front yard. I mean, fuck knows where it came from.
Yeah.
I was just full of kids going, oh, my arm's broken. Anyway, some people laughed and then... Other people didn't. And then this woman...
And then you called? Did you call it or...?
No, it wasn't me. This woman just said, oh...
That's not a good joke for around here.
Yeah. You know, she kind of, the way people kind of yell out at umpires?
Yeah.
You know, when they're running the ball back. That's... And I said, beg your pardon. She goes, no, it's a bit of a bouncy castle accident. I said, what? You know, and See, you just can't sound serious when you say bouncy.
No.
You know?
And she said, he ended up in a wheelchair.
And I probably shouldn't have said to her, what was he doing on a bouncy castle in a wheelchair?
That's right.
She didn't think it was funny at all.
But then also, you kept saying, I had a heart attack, and you said to her, is that all right? Can I? And no one's had a heart attack here, have they? Or, yeah. It was a running joke.
Can we talk about any grief?
But then in the break, it's not a kid, it's a dad.
I know. What was he doing? Oh, no. Fuck, this is wrong.
I know, but I mean,
it's a terrible thing.
Terrible thing, yeah. To go on a bouncy castle. But they are dangerous. There's no doubt about it.
But, you know, like, you just... There's that danger. Like,
how would you know that? You can't know that.
I know, and it's just, it's not even the same thing. Like I said, like I didn't find out what his accident was, but I'm pretty sure that it wasn't
the bouncy castle blowing away.
Yeah, no. Two suburbs over. You know.
Yeah.
And this is the meat and potatoes of this, right? This is how you can get into trouble doing comedy, because people can self-censor, right? Yeah. If you say something and they go, it has to be an incredibly funny joke to make people laugh involuntarily. Like, people can still go, oh, I can't, that's funny, but I can't laugh.
But also, there are some words that trigger people. This one, when I used to work at the ABC doing talkback, I said, I want to talk about having...
Sorry, clang.
Clang. I want to talk about having a vasectomy, and the woman goes, the producer goes, I warn you. That is like a trigger word for ABC listeners.
Oh, my God.
And she said, and also the other one, which they warned me against, which I did, UFOs.
Yeah.
She said, I swear, we're on at night, right, 6 to 10. This was Sally Rope. Remember Sally Rope? She used to do comedy.
Oh, yeah,
she was a producer. She said, do not, if you want to talk about UFOs, you've got to be prepared for all the nuts to ring up.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I talked about UFOs, and oh, my God. And I tell you what, though, some of the calls, this woman's husband was a fighter pilot in World War II. And he swore he saw UFOs when he was a fighter pilot.
Yeah, but see, you know, there's...
So obviously Bouncy Castle to her is just like, oh, no, you can't talk about that. we've had an incident in Eagle Hawk.
You know, at the end of the day, that kind of, like, rules out just about everything, you know? It's like, I talk about walking into a tow bar.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, we can't walk into a tow bar. Yeah.
Hang on. We got a phone call coming from Desmond Dowling. Man, this is... he's been in Bendigo as well. Funnyguys.com.au, can I help you? That's his company.
Hello, Des!
Des, how are you? How was Bendigo Stadium, Des?
Good, thanks, Dave. Good. What are you guys doing your podcast?
Yes.
Comedians having Maccas in cars.
Yeah, It's low budget Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, you're on the podcast, Des. So don't do your usual racist, sexist rants, all right? We can't have that.
I'm woke now. I'm very woke.
Did you?
I'm Brad woke.
Yeah, Brad. What was it? You're at Bendigo Stadium. What was it like?
I was at no footy clubs for me. I'm playing stadiums. So.
Wow.
It was Bendigo Stadium. Holds 4,000, I think.
And how many did you have?
I've had 50.
50. More than us.
Yeah, but we...
I think we may have had 70, but I was supporting Terry O'Keefe, a.k.a. The Skull.
Yes.
A.k.a. The best laugh on Australian radio or TV.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't going to say his name, but we've said it now. No, that's okay.
It was a very good gig. He was very funny. This is his last ever speaking tour.
Yeah, why is that? Why is he retiring? Is he much older now?
Or something? He was very with it. He didn't seem to be showing any real signs of aging, unlike the rest of us.
But not
very nice crowd. So.
Well, you know what, the winner tonight is Bendigo, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, like, you know, between three well-established comedians, Bendigo couldn't raise 100 people.
Yeah. And Kerry O'Keefe.
Kerry O'Keefe, a.k.a. The Skull.
Oh, you know...
You guys
we had 30 people. It was good.
Yeah, but still, to quote the great David Hughes, you've got expectations, lower them. So
Yes, lower your expectations. Well, and all, but Arj Barker was also playing in Bendigo, so I'm suspecting he had more than us.
Really?
He was on in Carlton last night, Arj.
No, there you go.
Oh, yeah. What's the deal with that? Anyway.
What can you do?
Well, it was it was a triumph anyway. It was a triumph for comedy. And unlike a place I recently visited, which I won't mention, nobody flicked me in the back of the ear. And
no one got violent with you.
And I didn't, leave in fear of my life. They were, the people of Eagle Hawk are delightful.
Was that a country town represented by a rural wedding in a legendary Australian feature film?
Yarrawonga, Tokemaul, Echuca, Mildura,
Wonthaggi. I'll just say that the first syllable of the name refers to the intelligence of the populace.
They're a little bit, they're not
stupid,
dumb.
Stupidville.
Just up they're the deep. Road. Just up the road from dumb fucker, yeah.
Well, Des, safe driving. There's a service station here, you know. Unlike you, people that don't know Des Dowling, he's a very fit young man. Me and Brad are quite chubby, so we're going to stop at the service station.
Are we?
You're the Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan of Australia. You're eating your way back from Bendigo, aren't you?
It's service stations.
Yeah, and although I'm doing my Brad Oakes impersonation now. That's the only one I can do. Oh, he's doing a little bit of...
I thought you'd be impersonating Bill Hunter and Husey all the way back.
Husey. I've already done Husey once. You can do Jeff Green. Jeff Green.
Another piece of the puzzle.
Another piece of the puzzle, Des.
Another piece of the puzzle, Des. All right. Well, I'd like to leave my bloody brain there, wouldn't I?
Do you want me to leave? I'll leave now. I've had Jeff on the podcast. He's a good man.
He's a great comedian. So where to next, Desi? What's your next gig?
What have we got? Well, I've got to go travelling tomorrow with small children. And I think I've got a footy club gig next Friday. So in the lull in between, I'll obviously write copious new amounts of material.
That, of course.
Because that's what we aim to do every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But in reality... I don't know what I'll do. There are a couple of good ones coming up, so a little bit on the go.
And if you need a comedian, funnyguys.com.au.
Yes,
I know this podcast is really managing to cut through the 85,000 other podcasts that are out there.
But,
for those that do need a comedian, I can't recommend more highly Oakes and O'Neill.
Yes, that's right. Brydon and Coogan of Aussie comedy.
Exactly.
Don't run yourself down, Des. You're very good too.
All right. Well, you drive carefully too, boys. You probably should be in separate cars, so highly are you.
Yeah, we're like the blokes with a KFC recipe. We've got to be separate. Oh, God, where are we?
Exactly.
I'll speak to you soon, Des.
Oh, man.
See you, mate. Bye. Anyway, bye.
Right.
Oh, I hate that guy. Why does he ring you?
Yeah.
No, he's a good man, Desmond. All right, we're here at the service station. We'll come back after this.
We have to de-mic.
Oh, you bet. You're back on the debrief. We've gone to the service station. And some great snacks.
Had a quick call from Desmond
Dowling.
Dowling, just to ask who he was supposed to invoice for the podcast.
The podcast appearance.
He doesn't know how this works.
He was joking.
We while we're doing the podcast, Dave and I are actually delivering pamphlets.
Yes,
well.
And pizzas.
It's where the money is. Yes.
Whatever you want.
Yes. Uber jokes.
We should do the questions, or you've got an issue you want to talk about.
I've just got an issue, just something I've noticed. You know, I've just come back from...
Not me drooling on stage.
No, that's...
Apparently I had some drool. It wasn't sauce, it wasn't party pie sauce.
No, it was silver.
Oh my God, glitter maybe.
And it was just coming down the right-hand side of your jowl.
We don't need that.
But it just could have been the way the light was striking.
Yes.
You know, I've just come back. I did those gigs up in Far North Queensland.
You're in FNQ with the great Evan Hocking, who's been on this podcast, and Chris Franklin.
That's correct. And
he's not been on this podcast yet. He will one day.
Had a good time. I'd never been to Townsville, and I'd been to Cairns. I'd never been to Townsville nor Port Douglas. And Port Douglas, what an awesome place.
Is it good? I've never been there.
It's so chill.
Been to Cairns.
Yeah, no, it's so close to Cairns and so different. It's so chill. But anyway, I'm here in between and so on. I've been doing gigs everywhere. You know, I did Fun House for you last week.
Oh, you're out and about.
And what I've noticed is I think we've gone to a new level of people looking at their phones during gigs, where they're no longer even aware that they're doing it.
Yeah, it's an addiction.
And they're not even furtive about it or anything like that.
Oh no, I had it last night at Bags Marsh Woody Club. Yeah,
and it's just, but you know, and I'll point it out to people, and they'll go, and they'll actually have a look of surprise on their face, like they'll realise that they've got their phone in their hand.
You know what I heard an expert say? You notice, and I do this, people walk down the street carrying their phone in their hand, they're not even on it, like it's a very precious possession.
Yeah.
So it's not in your pocket, it's in your hand, like a purse, kind of.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, it is for a lot of the younger people now.
It is a purse.
They've got their
credit card on.
But here's the thing, like, you know why I wrote years ago, back in the Le Joke days in the 90s.
Oh, the one about the pigeon, or?
Yeah, no, the one about the pigeon, about the mobile phone, but also about the jamming device.
Oh, yes.
You know, where, you know, we have a jamming device, and if you get out your phone, and if your phone rings, I'm coming down, I'll jam it up your arse, right? And that's...
Good joke.
25 years ago.
Wow.
You know, it's now to the point where... it's almost like people were saying to me, well, what of it? What of me looking at my phone?
You know? I know. You know what someone said? You see photos of people now at a train stop or in an office or whatever, and everyone's on their phone. It's like when you look at photos of people in the 70s, everyone's smoking.
Yeah.
And phones have replaced smoking now.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we'll look back in 20 years and go, fuck, look, everyone's on their phone.
Yeah, and back in the 20s, everybody had a hat.
Yes, you know? Very true.
And back in the late 19th century, everybody had whiskers.
Yes.
Or a moustache, yeah.
I don't know where phones will stop. I mean, I'm addicted to my phone.
I know, but, you know,
terrible.
What?
Remember when Husey went off his phone and then he was just shouting into his Apple Watch for days? Like, get smart.
I'm on Apple Watch. I ride my bike around, you know, around down the beach and, you know, around the lake. And
mate, stuff. You're all about fitness. We know that.
Just
Google Brad Oakes. It's a thing.
I'm not on the roids, but I'm just saying.
Close.
You know, le tour, perhaps. Le perhaps. But, people are just, like, they walk into you, you know. And I don't want to sound like an old curmudgeon. I look at my phone and stuff like that. But what I'm
people are listening to this on their phone right now, walking into people.
Well, as long as they're not listening to this on their phone while they're at a comedy gig, ignoring another comedian, right? Because I think the paradigm has shifted, right, to the point where it's really difficult now, like, to hold people's attention, because you're competing with their curiosity.
Well, you're competing with worldwide events, amazing photos, music, film clips. What are the Kardashians doing? Doctor showed this slide yesterday at a gig that I was doing for prostate cancer, and he said the concentration span has gone down from 12 seconds to 8 seconds because of phones, and he said goldfish are 9 seconds.
What was that?
Goldfish.
Bam!
You got me.
Bam! But you know
and
what?
And I said, "That's an amazing fact." He goes, "Oh, I just found that on the internet. So I don't even
really
believe it."
Yeah, I read it. Christmas bonbon.
Yeah.
And it's what I suppose I'm getting at too is that it's going to reshape a comedy night. You know, what are you going
to
do?
It's like when people used to smoke. Remember when people smoked?
Yeah.
It was a different vibe then too, in a way.
But what I'm saying too is, like, you know, say the traditional comedy night for us when we started was, started 8:30 goes till 10:30, 11 o'clock, right? And you'd have three 40-minute brackets or something like that, right? Can you hold people for 40 minutes?
Oh, wow, yeah. So it's going to be shorter bursts.
Yeah, is it going to be shorter bursts?
One woman was telling me today, one of my neighbour's sisters from Adelaide was saying that in the Adelaide Fringe now they have this great thing where they have 10-minute shows.
Yeah.
In the garden, which is the big Adelaide venue. And they just have these small tents. And she said, you go in and the shows go for 10 minutes.
Well, I pioneered that with Steph Torrent.
You did too in your tent, in the Telstra tent.
In the small top tent show,
Man.
But, you know, I'm just saying that, like, Shakespeare now, like, would he just be writing 1.5-act plays, you know?
And you should.
But could we do this, right? Wouldn't it be good?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be fabulous if you were doing a show and while you're on stage everybody's phone went off and they pulled out their phone and it was you?
It's
still me, dickhead.
Have you seen that great ad where they show that, like, you're like from the perspective of a driver driving a car?
Oh yeah.
And then everyone's phone rings in the cinema. They've got this thing where they make everyone's phone ring and everyone looks at their phone and the car crashes on the screen. That's very clever.
No, I haven't seen it. I just, I was too busy looking at my phone.
Looking at my phone.
So anyway, that was
very
little,
interesting.
Attention
spans.
It may not have been, funny, but I hope it was interesting. Yeah.
That's what we like on the debrief. Now, I should ask the questions.
Yes.
What went well tonight and why?
Well, I think for me what went well was it was a very relaxed atmosphere. And they wanted to go ahead with the show, even though they were disappointed.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that worked. I felt that they got the lights right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's a nice new club, actually.
Yeah. They got the lights out, and your light, you know, did the trick.
I had my stage light.
The sound was great.
The sound was good.
And
well, what didn't go well? Well, you know, what didn't go well?
Well,
bouncy cars and jokes.
Did we explain that?
Yeah, we did explain that. Yes, great detail.
But even that, like that's water up a duck's back to me. I mean, kind of like saying, "Oh my god!"
And also, at least half the crowd laughed at the joke. At least, what organisational hazards got in the way? You reckon the barman talking?
Yeah, well, totally. You know,
they were good though. They were good fun. Greedy. Yeah, it was a big bloke.
You didn't need, did you need two of them in there?
No, as you said at the end, just get one barman. There's only 30 people.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if they were getting paid, right? I doubt they were, right? But see, that job attracts a certain amount of person. I used to do this back in my younger days when I go to parties. If there was a bar, I'd man the bar because I would meet everybody.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't have to mingle, right?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, and it does attract, and I'm not talking about a professional barman, I'm talking about a voluntary.
Yeah, an amateur barman, yeah.
Voluntary barman.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Right, because it's the easiest place to have an impact, and, you know, particularly if you, you know, like to crack wise.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I thought organisational wise, I couldn't fault it, you know, like I end up doing longer than we had to, simply because
you were loving it.
I was loving it, and they were letting it happen, and also too, I wanted, you know, when you drive for nearly 2 hours, as you have, when you drive for nearly 2 hours, you may as well. You're there.
You may as well do it.
Yeah.
And how can we do better next time? Well, they can get more people.
Yeah.
I think we've pre-sale tickets.
Yeah, I think we've said this before too, that we you know, we're probably remiss sometimes in that we don't send people like a starter package.
That's true, actually. You know? I spoke to them on the phone and I said, with the poster, I tried to spell it out. I said, put both our faces on, which the poster was good. The poster was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. And look, because sometimes I just put one person's name. I said, put two so they know that they're getting value for money, because that's a big thing, I reckon, especially with country audiences.
Yeah.
They like to know there's a few people on. And but I didn't say, and you should pre-sell tickets, you know. So.
But more importantly, like, when you look at that poster, like, well, it wasn't a bad poster. Like,
yeah, it was fine.
No, nowhere near as bad as some of the stuff I've seen.
Yeah.
But It didn't scream comedy, right?
Yeah. You've got to actually put live comedy somewhere.
Yeah, there's another trope or another kind of thing, which is, you know, if you work, say, in Coles and they make announcements, you understand every announcement, right? They go, you know, service on aisle 5, blah, blah, blah. But
most people wouldn't, though.
No, most people wouldn't. And so they speak a lot more clearly when they're making announcements to customers, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, it's the same to, with posters that we can go, we walk in and see a poster with our faces on it and go, oh, well, you know, they've done a poster with our faces on it. But it didn't scream comedy, you know? And it's got to create that conversation. So perhaps, you know, we really should get our shit together and send people like, because also it's one thing to say on the phone, you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. If they're not writing it down.
Yeah, it's true. It's quite, oh my God, that's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff, right? Whereas if you can send them a checklist, and you
Very good point.
You know, and I've discussed this with Des in the past, and I'm going to go up and see Des in the next week or so.
Maybe a good idea.
We should just send them
a checklist,
the starter kit. You know, yeah, just because you know, it breaks your heart. She was such a lovely person. You know,
and such a nice people.
But yeah, that's so. Well, again, without talking about whose fault anything was, that's what could have been changed. You know.
Well, we're off. We're going to home.
Yeah, we've 100 k's.
We can do another podcast.
Yeah, well, why not?
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Brad.
Pleasure as always, Dave. Oh, we don't do music anymore. But,
no, we don't. No.
But can I recommend a song that people go
go and
have a listen to? I would recommend. Oh, this is a song I've been loving. I don't know this cat's name, but Billy Ray Cyrus is on it.
Oh, what? Old Town Road?
Old Town Road, yeah.
Yeah, my kids love that song.
It's a great song.
That's been a phenomenon, that song.
Yeah, well, you know, what happened to it was that it got on the country charts and then they kicked it off.
I know, they said it wasn't country, yeah.
But it's just a great song.
You love that song?
Yeah. 2.5 minutes. I've got it on repeat in the gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus, it's just... No, it's better than Achy Breaky Heart.
Don't break my heart, my achy break your heart.
Well, Steph Torrey and I used to sing that song. Steph wrote the...
The parody? Is there a parody?
Yeah, the parody is... this song has two chords. It's only got two chords because I'm too fucking dumb to count three. Billy Ray.
Brad Oakes, thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
you'll appear again another time and catch Brad around the country.
Yes, and hopefully... I'll just be in the back another time when somebody else is on. Because I live in Dave's town.
There we go.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, listeners.